I want you to look with me this morning at a passage of Scripture that all of us know and are so very familiar with. And it's a story that we've read a number of times and talked about a number of times. But reading it this time, it was different. And it made me wonder, it made me think, am I doing this right? Am I doing this the way I ought to? And I want you to go with me to this passage. We're going to be looking at it. All the verses are going to be on the screen. They will be in the English Standard Translation. If you prefer to read in your own translation, you can do that. Praise and thanksgiving, coming out of this week of Thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving is used quite a bit in the Bible. There are several different Hebrew and Greek words that are translated praise and thanks. In our reading, three of those words are used, actually two, because the second two are different forms of the same word. The first of those words that is used is eucharisteo. We are familiar with the English word Eucharist. And whenever you hear the term Eucharist, I think most of the time we think about the Lord's Supper. But the Greek word, and that we derive our English word Eucharist from, was actually describing the prayer that Jesus prayed before the taking of the Lord's Supper. And it's also describing, that word is, the prayer that Jesus prayed before he fed the 4,000 people. Jesus offered a prayer of thanksgiving to God. And in the Greek language, that prayer of thanksgiving to God is Eucharisto, and we call it Eucharist. The second word is doxa, or doxazo, and it means to honor, to glorify, to praise, or to thank. The word Eucharisto is going to be used once in this reading, and the two forms of doxa are going to be used twice. One time it'll be doxa, the other time it'll be doxazo. Both are forms of the word for praise. I'll point those out as we go through, and you'll be able to see them. We start in the book of Luke, chapter 17, with verse 11, and the Bible will tell us this. Verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem. This is the end. This is the last time he'll be in Galilee before his crucifixion. He's now on his way to the city of Jerusalem to be crucified. That means he's performed his miracles. He's made himself known. People know who he is if they've been paying attention. And now he's on his way to Jerusalem. And so close is this reality of being in Jerusalem that in Luke's book, Luke chapter 18, he comes to Jericho. In Jericho, he heals a blind man. In Jericho, Jesus goes and eats with Zacchaeus. And then in chapter 19, he comes to Jerusalem. He has in chapter 19 his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And in chapter 19, he describes Jesus cleansing the temple. And from chapter 19, he proceeds through the rest of that last week of the life of Jesus. So when he's on his way to Jerusalem, he's on his way to Jerusalem to die. And he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Galilee into the north of Samaria, and he's walking along the border, which is going to introduce us to a main character in this story, and we're already aware of who it is. The readers of Luke, for the first time, may have been treated with a surprise as to who it was. But he's passing between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. They stood at a distance because it was required by the law. They stood at a distance because of the infectious nature of the disease. They stood at a distance in order to protect other people. They stood at a distance. And there were 10 of them. And they lifted up their voices. And they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They knew who he was. They knew something about him. And I would take their cry to him being an anticipation of possibly Jesus healing them. And that very well could have been the reason they were there and the very thing they were asking for. So they lifted up their voice saying, Jesus, Master. The word master is interesting. It's the term that you would use in addressing a superior, one who is over you, one who is above you. So in that sense, they were honoring Jesus or recognizing him, much as many would when they would call him teacher. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. That's what the law required. That's in anticipation of a healing taking place. That when you have leprosy and you believe the leprosy has gone away, you go and show yourself to the priest in order that the priest may examine you according to the dictates of the law of Moses and in the way that the law of Moses described, to make sure that the leprosy really had gone away and that the leprosy really was no longer infecting your skin and infecting your body. And so Jesus simply says to those 10 men, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, I have no idea what time was involved. I have no idea how long that took. Was it as they turned? Was it as they turned and took a step toward the temple? Was it as they turned and began to walk and in the process of the journey? I have no idea. But what the text seems to indicate to us, because of what's about to unfold, is it could not have been very far because evidently Jesus had not moved from where he was or had not gone very far from where he was. Go show yourselves to the priest. And they immediately did that. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God. Doxa. One of the words used for thanksgiving. When one saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God, Theos, with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks, Eucharisto, the Eucharist, giving him thanks, and then the surprise. Now he was a Samaritan. Where are the others? What about the other nine? Jesus asked that very question. And he asked that very question in the next section of the text. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And whenever I would look at this text, my thoughts would always go to all the different scenarios that could have happened with regard to those other 9. That would have kept them from coming back and thanking Jesus. And I think about maybe one of them being overwhelmed with joy, not waiting to show his family and running to his family immediately. I think about the others maybe having something else in mind about somebody they wanted to see, they wanted to show. I can think of all different things, and eventually I would have one for every single one of them about why they didn't go back. But I want you to pay attention just to the text. And I want you to think about it from this standpoint. Thus, the question that we started with, are we doing this right? Are we doing this the way we ought to? Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise? Second form of doxa. Was no one found to return and give praise to God, to Theos, except this foreigner, except this Samaritan? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Weren't all 10 made well? Yes, physically. Yes, from leprosy. And I have no indication whatsoever that the leprosy ever came back. They were, in fact, all 10 of them, healed of their leprosy. But for this one who came back, there was a greater healing. There is a greater, more spiritual sense of being made well. There is something that occurred here that this man did that no one else did. What about the other 9? Was there no one of those other 9 who would come back to give praise to God? How do you give praise to God? By praising Jesus. You remember these verses. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Could it be that those 9 could not tolerate the idea that this man they had just talked to on the hill was God in the flesh? That they could not tolerate the idea that their devotion should be toward a man instead of God as they saw him through their Israelite mind and their Israelite thinking. Could it be that they did not recognize Jesus in that way at all? And that perhaps as they turned, they remove the thought from their mind that Jesus had healed them, because what man can do that? Only God could heal. And thus Jesus has been saying all along, how can you say, show us the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Could it be that in the Jewish mind, being devoted to the law was being devoted to God? Being devoted to the law was what God would have me to do. And therefore, their focus was on what they considered to be the will of God as given by the law and by their own traditions. But even in doing that, they ignored exactly what God said. They ignored all the things that God said. Because Jesus will say, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But they speak of me. And you don't come to me. Could that be why they didn't come back? What is the source of your salvation? Is it baptism? Is it the church? How would you describe yourself as a church member? Are you a good church member? How would you describe yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ? How do you describe yourself as an individual who listens to Jesus and follows Him and does your best to be like Him in every aspect of your life? It is Jesus who is our focus. And when Jesus is our focus, then we are a part of His body, which is called the ecclesia, the people who are called out to follow Him, the people who belong to Him. What is the source of your salvation and mine? Are we doing this right? Is He our focus? Is He our life? Is He the one we are striving to be like? I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said, this former follower of the law and tradition, this former one who would have been just like the nine. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. There is no coming to God apart from Jesus Christ. There is no eternal life apart from Jesus Christ. And there is no forgiveness of sins apart from Jesus Christ. We are to be His disciples, His followers, His imitators, striving to be like Him. That's how we do this right. That's how we do this the way God would have it to be done. There may be some here today who are ready to turn their life over to Christ, to belong to Him, to be baptized into Him, and to allow Him to be the one that controls our hearts, our minds, our lives, and our souls, and everything that we do. If you need to come this morning to be baptized into Christ or come home to Christ, if you'd like to have a prayer with one of our elders, they'll be happy to meet with you. But if you desire to respond to His invitation this morning, we want to offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.